The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Some Sadducees, those who denied that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman but died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and likewise all the seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. At the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "The children of this age marry and remarry, but those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, and they are like the children of God, because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, when he called out, 'Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob.' And God is not God of the dead, but of the living. For to God, all are alive." The Gospel of the Lord. So there's a story of a good Catholic man with a family of six children, because Catholics have a lot of children back then. And he died, and he went before Peter in the pearly gate, and St. Peter says, "Welcome, you've shown in your life that you wanted to be with God, so welcome to heaven, welcome to the kingdom of God." But the man waited, and St. Peter goes, "How come you're not entering heaven?" He goes, "Well, I want to wait for people, my family." So he waited through the day. He waited for his relatives and some family, extended family. Then he waited for his children. And then he kept waiting. So St. Peter, you know, figured he's probably waiting for his wife. So then towards the end of the day, and then his wife comes. And his wife enters heaven. And then a man goes the other way. And St. Peter's like, "Hey, my good man, where are you going? Heaven's this way." He goes, "Well, that's where my wife is going. I'm going to be somewhere else." Now, that may not be exemplary of many marriages, but that's actually a lot of what we think of marriage, of heaven or eternal life or the afterlife. Because we think that it's a continuation of what has happened in this life. So all the troubles, all the difficulties we have, and all the social relationship we have in this life will carry into the next. And that's what the Sadducees think. This group of people in Jesus' time who deny that there's a resurrection, and they use the same logic. They say, "Well, the afterlife is a continuation of this life." So they use an example. They quoted Moses. An example of Moses, as we heard in the gospel, that if a woman married and the man died, then the younger brother, you know, would continue the, you know, progeny. And all seven of them died and without children. And when they get to heaven, the Sadducees, you know, think, because it's a continuation of this life, then look, whose wife is he going to be? And Jesus always does this so well. He takes our logic and our simplistic answers, and he flips it around. And then he quotes Moses again. But he quotes a passage of Moses which is very integral to the Jewish people. He quotes when Moses encountered God in the burning bush. And when God gives Moses the mission to be the liberator of his people, Moses asks God, "Who are you?" And then God says, "I am who am. I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob." And Jesus points this out, that God is the God of the living and not of the dead. And Jesus adds the phrase, "All people are alive in God." So Jesus is saying that the vision of eternal life is not just a it's not just continuing what happened in this life. Something different is going to happen. And elsewhere, Jesus says what? "For something greater to rise, something lesser has to die. For something greater to grow, something lesser has to go." So for Jesus and the God and the kingdom of God that he live and he witness and he inaugurate, is that God is always with us. That life is life always with God. And when we die physically into the next life, just like we die to the life in the womb of our mother, and we enter physical life outside the womb, similarly, the passage of death into new life, something new will happen. Not the same old, not the same old relationships. In fact, someone wisely had said this: what we take into the next life is the ways in which we have tried to love justly, deeply, freely. And what is not will stay behind. And so this is the vision of the afterlife that Jesus lived and that he inaugurated. And this is the same hope that the seven children and their mother died in the first reading in the Maccabees. Their hope that God is beyond all human suffering, that God's love is greater than human sinfulness, that God's promise and faithfulness of life will last beyond human fear, human injustice, human mistreatment. And so how do you imagine the afterlife? Who do you imagine being there? Who do you imagine being there that you don't want to be with, like the story of the man? Because life that Jesus presents, eternal life, has life as we live in this earth and has life in heaven, in the afterlife, that we call it. And for Jesus, life is in relationship with God, in right relationship, the deep confidence that God is always with you and I. And as St. Paul says in the second reading, God is our strength. That God will encourage our heart, that God will give us strength even though we do not feel strength. And that God is strong enough, God's shoulder is strong enough for our burdens to be entrusted, and God's heart is big enough for our small-mindedness and our resentment and our unforgiveness of others can turn to God and say, "Lord, I can't forgive, I can't heal, but I trust that life in you, you will give me the strength and the encouragement." And that whatever happens in this life, that your faithfulness will carry me and us into the next life. And while I live in this life, I try to see you in myself and others, and I try to love you and treat you in others. In people I do not yet see you, in people who are so different, different religion, different politics, different skin color, different nationality, people who I run into the streets a lot, who make me very uncomfortable, the homeless, people who I run into at work or at home, I cannot yet accept, our colleagues and our family members, or people we look in the mirror every day and we don't dare to look straight in the mirror because there are things about ourselves we cannot yet accept. All this, we trust of God who is with us, God who will not abandon us, God who understands us, and God will bring us to greater life. And so for Jesus, this vision of life begins now. And a God who walks with us, who purifies us, who stretches our heart so that eternal life, heaven, it's much bigger than you and I have ever imagined. It's more than the relationship that we think. And with God's grace, that we can enter heaven, even right now, we cannot imagine certain people we want to share eternal life with. So, for 3 minutes, I would like to take you to a little imaginative exercise. So I'm a Jesuit, so Ignatian imagination is part of what we do, but don't worry, it's not going to be 15 minutes. It's going to be a few. But if you can, to less distract yourself or to allow your imagination to work, if you can, close your eyes, okay? And don't open your eyes, just close your eyes. I'm going to ask you a few questions. And whatever comes up, let it flow, let it go. However you imagine heaven, who's there in your imagination of heaven? The saints? People who have loved you? People who you care deeply about, who've gone on to the next life? So imagine, however you imagine heaven, imagine being there with these loved ones. And maybe the saints, and maybe God. And imagine that way of relating, accepting, understanding, encouraging. Now, who don't you want to be there with heaven right now if you were going to go to heaven? And you can be honest. And you can talk to Jesus or God, why so-and-so you don't want to be with in heaven. And maybe you can ask for help. Maybe help for healing. Maybe help to stretch your heart a little bigger. Ask God for the help you need so that your vision of heaven may be much bigger than what you think right now. And then what burdens, what worry, what heaviness what overwhelms you right now that you cannot carry? And imagine talking to God or Jesus about this. Imagine turning over your worries, turning over what makes you stuck, turning over what overwhelms you, What keeps you up at night? And let God or Jesus receive all that. And let God or Jesus speak to you. Maybe to say, I understand. I'm here. I am your hope. I will give you greater life. This same God, this same Jesus, is the one who will come to us when we receive communion. This same sense of heaven is what happens when we celebrate around the Eucharistic table. Thank you, God of life. May we receive your life. And may we hope in greater life in you. A life that expands our heart, that stretches our imagination, that inspires us to be more loving, to be more just.